Everybody's worrying.
Yeah, right.
Nobody's worrying, amen. All right, well, we're going to talk about wiping out worry in particular in marriage, because we don't want to be seen as a worry wart. Neither do we want to be a worry wart. And so, amen. Mark, do me a favor, give me a half a cup of water here.
Sure.
That one's all gone. Okay, so we've got our memory verse, Proverbs 21:5. And if you look at that from the outset, it really doesn't look like it's a worry verse. And that's because it's not. It's coming from a perspective of being a good planner. And if you are a good planner, you don't have to worry. Unless you're like me, and when your plans fail, then you worry. All right, Proverbs 21:5. That's going to be our verse. Amen. Anybody want to try to say it before we say it together, collectively? Thank you, Stephanie. Do you need a sheet, Stephanie?
No, I have one. Thank you.
You are welcome. All right. Anybody want to try and quote it before we say it collectively? Yes, Annette.
Proverbs 21:5. The thoughts of the diligence tended only to want, but of everyone that is hastily not want not hastily haste, yeah. not only to want. Proverbs
21:5. Amen. And the ending of that gets me as well. For some reason, the beginning I got without a problem. It was that ending that I struggled with.
Proverbs 21:5. The thought of the diligent and only plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to one. Proverbs 21:5.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else do that one? All right, 21:5. Let's try and say it all together. Proverbs 21:5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Proverbs 21:5. And again, that ending part throws me. Basically, what you're dealing with here in 21:5, the thoughts, meaning the plans, in other words, of the diligent, someone is going to be proactive. So it tends only to plenteousness, meaning if I plan properly and if I'm diligent in that which I plan, then I'm going to have prosperity, okay? But then he says, everyone that's hasty, if I rush at everything and worry at everything, I'm only going to lack, okay? That's what it's doing. What want there means to lack or to have need of. So he says, if I'm going to be a good planner and I'm going to be diligent in that, it's going to, you know, give me the plenteousness. And you would think of a farmer. The farmer goes out, he plans by planting and watering and fertilizing and cultivating and all that. And then at the end of the season, what happens? He's got a crop that comes in. The other farmer that says, oh, I got to do this. He does nothing. At the end of the season, he's got what?
Nothing.
Amen. And so it is in marriage as well. We want to make sure that we lay down some proper plans in the marriage, that we want to tend to them or till those things. Then we're going to have plenteousness. But if we just worry and do nothing, guess what? We're not going to have anything. Amen. So that's what it's talking about here. That's going to get us started. Let's go ahead and open the word of prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, help us this morning as we discuss some things about worry and marriage in particular. Lord, what it does, the dangers of it, Lord, and how we can overcome it, wipe it out completely and totally, Lord. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Many are the needs here in this class, Lord, with our spouses, with our children, with our jobs, Lord, and with our spiritual life. And we just pray that you would minister in us and to us in a marvelous way. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right. Look at your sheet there. And by the way, let me let you know this. First of all, the 21st, you might have seen it on the calendar, we're going to have a couples fellowship at our house. That's going to be from 1 to 3. Okay, so we've got some games we're going to play with you guys and just have a good time of fellowship. We'll have some finger foods for you there. Don't come with the explicit purpose of getting full, because we're not going to have that kind of a meal. But do come and have some snacks and enjoy some time together as couples. Children are welcome. You can bring your children. That's not going to be a problem. It won't be, depending upon the weather, we may have them go outside and do some things in the backyard something like that. But that's going to be from 1 to 3 on the 21st. That is a Saturday. Again, that's going to be our first ever couples fellowship. So we'll make sure that you come on over with your spouses and with your children from 1 to 3. We've got some things we're going to play, and you have to have a good time fellowship. Okay, any questions on that? Ms. Dawson, anything I need to add to that? No? Okay.
Can right. I bring food?
No, you don't need to bring food unless you just want to. If you want to bring food, we'll eat it. but you don't have to bring food, amen. All right, so that's 1 to 3. We'll give you guys a map next week, let you know where we're at. Most of you guys know where we live at, right? Out in Vail. If you Google Empire High School or Cienega High School, we're right in the middle of both, closer to Cienega High School. Matter of fact, we're the housing development right next to that. We see the baseball field from our house. Okay, Cienega Heights is where we're at, out by Cienega High School. Amen. All right, notice what it says here. Everyone worries, amen. If you say you don't worry, you're not telling the truth, amen. Everybody worries, amen. Some people worry if they have nothing to worry about because they think they must have forgotten something or they would have something to worry about, amen. That says pretty interesting there, amen. What is worry? It says, someone has said worry is interest paid on trouble before it is due. Vance Havner said worry, like a rocking chair, will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Amen. The English word worry comes from a root word that means to choke or strangle. By the way, when I looked it up in the dictionary, that's what I found, to choke or to strangle. And I thought, man, you don't really think about worry as to choke or strangle, but that's really what you're doing to yourself. You're choking or strangling yourself. And I looked it up and I said, I must have the wrong word. I looked it up again. I thought, whoa, that's what it says. Amen. Now, there are other definitions as well, but the main word comes from choke or strangle. Worry, it says, chokes the happiness and joy out of our lives. And this is what the dictionary says. It means to afflict with mental distress or agitation. So if you've got worry in your marriage, you're afflicting yourself with mental distress or agitating yourself over the issue. It says to make anxious. You're making yourself anxious. It also says to feel or experience concern or anxiety. To feel or experience concern or anxiety. My wife is talking about feelings and emotions in the ladies' meeting, amen? So worry would be one of those emotions. By the way, you can't see worry, you just see the results of worry. Anger you can see, but you can't see worry. Somebody could be sitting right here and worrying right now, and we would never know it. Anger you can see because normally people like this. You get in a rage, so you can see anger. Worry, you can't see. It says this, fret, it means to fret, usually for something impending or something anticipated or the consequences of past actions, potential in the future. Wow, that's deep. So I'm going to worry about things that have been done in the past, but I'm going to find the consequences in the future, and I'm anticipating that to come, and so I worry about that. Wow, that's a big one there, amen. So those are some of the definitions that you find when you look up the word worry, and now what we're going to do is apply that to our marriage. Notice what it says down in the second paragraph. Before we proceed, we need to understand the difference between worry and concern. By the way, it says if we are not concerned about our children playing near traffic, we are terrible parents. That is not a worry, that's a concern, that's different. Concern, it says, focuses on the present. Worry focuses on the future. Concern means we can do something about a situation because it's in the present. Worry relates to future, to the future, and is out of our hands. However, not worrying doesn't mean we don't plan for the future. God plans for the future. He planned the birth, the death, the resurrection of Christ 1,000 years in advance. Planning is important. That is why God gives us what life principle in Proverbs 21:5. And again, that is a good planning and hard work make us to prosper, but a haste or lack of planning is going to bring poverty. And basically that's what you would write down there, something like that. Now, let's ask this question. If worry and concern are different, what things do we worry about in marriage? Not things that we're concerned about, but what do we worry about in marriage? Because concern is in the present. Concern, we should be worried about that. Not worried about that. We should be concerned about that. What things do we worry about? Yes?
My husband and I, after we got married, we were concerned about how we built our children's, you know, plan. future, what they're gonna have, you know, for their life, especially he got 2 boys from his precious marriage, and I have 1, so that's Stephen, Sean, or Stephen, we have Shane. So I was let him know that, you know, because not every father are being the best what they can be, and it's not gonna be there, you know, like they always focus on, you know, job and come home and as baby, and I'm always be more like, and he don't like to hear that when I ask him, and I said, you know, I'm focusing with, you know, school to make sure they have a better job, because I don't want them, my kids line up in unemployment.
Mm.
So he don't like that, and sometimes he disagree or agree, but I'm more spending more time with Stephen and Shane to get them better. Mm. And I told him, you're going to be the father. So I told my husband, they're gonna be a father, a husband and a father someday.
Mm.
And I said, you have to be there and talk with them, communication with them, you know, make sure they learn how to plan.
Amen.
What they're gonna have in life. And, you know, he said, I'm knocking him and all this stuff. And I said, I know it's not, you don't like to hear, but you're gonna hear that from me. And it just, you know, it's a bit of worry.
Amen. Now, Lily brings up a good point, okay? Here I am, I get married, but now I've got my kids that I've had from another relationship. He's got his kids from another relationship, okay? Now, it's a concern because it's in the present, they're kids. But now the worry comes in when I say, okay, are they gonna love my kids as much as they love their kids? Are they gonna treat my kids as good as they treat their kids? Are the kids gonna be equal billing? What's going to happen to the kids as a result of this? Are we going to be able to, are they going to get in a relationship like I got into and have children out of wedlock and this, that, and the other? So we begin to, now that's in the future. I can't control that. I can't. The only thing I can do is say, let's be the best I can be right here. But that's a very real concern, but it can also be a worry, you know, because I see the slightest thing where you're not treating your kids the way you treat my kids. You don't love them the way you love your kids and blah, 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 you know. And so that can be a source of worry. In the back of our minds, we can say, wow, you know, how are they going to treat my kids if we get married? Well, now I'm married, now it's water under the bridge. I can't, now what do we do? Okay, do I bring it up to their attention? You know, that can be a worry. You know, the two main things that I have, the main thing that I had up was kids that people worry about when they get married. They oftentimes don't worry about their relationship, they worry about the kids. You know, we're here, we're grown, we're adults, but they're not. And oftentimes, what we worry about in marriage are the kids first and foremost. The other, of course, you know, we worry about money, we worry about jobs, we worry about health and things like that. Some of the things I had down that we worry about, debt. You know, I've got credit card debt, or I've got, my wife and I got married, we had college debt. She had college debt, I had college debt. We got married, we both had together college debt, amen? And I thought, well, yeah, I guess it's set for better or for worse, you know, but I didn't anticipate. Yeah, I wasn't thinking about paying her college bills when we got married. That was a far, I'm in love, I want to marry you. But then when she came, she was a package deal. She came with her debt, and I thought, your debt
is my debt.
Yeah, your debt is my debt. I thought, you know, my debt is my debt, and your debt is your debt. So, you know, I didn't know you back then. Let your parents pay for that debt. And then, hey, but when I married her, I accumulated her debt.
Right.
You know, and then I accumulated my debt. And lo and behold, one day the bill came and said, your debt is due. And I thought, man, I don't have any money to pay this. Yes.
Yeah, Pastor, speaking about college debt, it was my husband and I, we went through all the fighting, you know. And I told him that, you know, you asked me to help you to build, you know, our families. You know, and I know that you really have kids. And I have kids, you know, I was trying to help you because that's what we talk before we get married. And he was so upset because Stephen wanted to go to college and he didn't want to pay for the college, even Shane right now. And even some blessing because Stephen got 4 scholarships from the Air Force.
Amen.
United States Air Force, he don't have to pay anyone's thing.
Praise
so
God.
4 years of university, they pay always, even for ROTC. Between ROTC and Academy, so he chose to go to ROTC, but they sent him Academy for about half year to do that. And Stephen not so happy, and now we are still doing the same problem, fighting with Shane. Shane said, my daddy's not paying this, my daddy's not, and I said, you're just gonna have to break out, go by.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I told Shane, you're just gonna have to keep and, you know, asking the Lord and be faithful with him, because you never know.
Amen.
So
amen.
I said, he did it to your brother, and I said, I'm sure that you will get to.
Mm-hmm. You know, and God knows, and these are, you know, like I said, these can be concerns, but it can also turn into worry. Mm-hmm. At what point does it turn into worry and it stops being concerned?
When you let it consume you, when you let it overwhelm you.
Let it overwhelm us. We let it agitate us, or some of the definition, we let it afflict us mentally or agitate us, mm-hmm. or when it makes us become anxious, or when we fret about it, when it's out of our control and we can't control it. And that's why it says the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. What I do then, okay, if I know that I've got this coming here, I can plan here. But guess what? The rapture may happen. The child may even die before that comes, but it doesn't stop me from planning. Now, you know, those things are reality. I mean, the child may not want to go to college. You can do force him. I mean, you know, well, you could, but you'd be wasting money. Amen. So, you know, I'm concerned about it here, so I plan. The thoughts of the diligent tend to plenteousness, but I don't worry about what's going to happen down there. When it consumes me is when it becomes worry in my marriage. And now I can only think about that. It agitates me when I think about it. Now it's a problem. And by the way, can I pray about it? Yes. Can I ever pray about something too much? And be careful in your answer. Can I ever pray about something too much?
Is there such a thing, too much prayer? I mean, too much praying?
That's what I'm asking.
Well, if it's repetition is praying, I mean, it's not going to be answered, because it's just, you're taking it for granted. You're not trusting God. You're not letting him work in it.
Now, why might it be repetitious?
Because you have no faith in God.
Ah, there we go. Now, if I am repetitious, and if I don't have faith, and I'm praying the same thing all over the time, again and again, what am I possibly doing with that same thing? Is it a concern or is it worry?
Worry.
Worry.
So I can call myself praying about it all the time, but in essence, I'm really not praying, I'm actually worrying. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not saying that you can ever pray for something too much. What I'm saying is you have to be careful that your praying is not actually worrying. And so I'm praying about this, and Lord, do this and do this and do this and do this, and it doesn't happen today, okay? Lord, do this and do this and do this. Okay, it doesn't happen. I'm do this, and I keep doing that over and over again. Is it really prayer, or am I worrying about it? And that's, you got to really watch that, because it can become worry. Now, you can never pray about something too much. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying be careful that your prayer is not just worry. And you're making yourself feeling better by saying you're praying, but you're actually worrying. Yes.
Now I have concern, because when I pray the same thing. So it's not like I pray the same thing every day, like 3 times a day. So is that like not trusting God, or I'm confused now?
Not necessarily. I pray for safety every day when I get in the car.
Yeah.
So that's a repetitious prayer that I pray every day. Like, I'm not taking it for granted. I want to pray for that. But now think about this. The prayer that I'm praying for safety, the prayer of safety is the same every day.
Yes.
The conditions that I'm facing are different every day. So I'm praying for a new safety, for a new day, but it's the same safety that I'm asking for. So it's not to say that you shouldn't pray for the same thing over and over again. It's not showing a lack of faith there. I just have to be careful that it's not becoming a worry as opposed to a prayer. Does that make sense? I don't want it to be a worry.
Kind of, but I'm confused. I'm afraid now to pray. Asking the same thing.
No, never be afraid to pray. You just have to ask yourself, Lord, am I really leaving this with you in prayer, or am I actually taking it back with me and worrying about it?
I guess it depends on my heart condition too when I pray something, huh?
Right. And after you pray, you begin looking for God starting to answer that prayer. You start looking for things, you know. My wife and I had some dealings with my son at school, and we began praying. We began seeing some things already, you know. So, you know, you're concerned about it, so you put the feet of prayer, and that's the thought of the diligent. We plan, okay, what can we do? Okay, we can talk, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. And then you do that, and then you start watching and waiting for results. So I pray, I leave it with God, then I keep my eyes open to see. When I pray for safety in the morning, I keep my eyes open And I'm looking, what am I looking? I'm looking in my rearview mirror to see if make sure somebody's not gonna rear end me. I'm making sure somebody's not gonna T-bone me on the side. I'm looking for, you know, oncoming traffic. I'm looking for people that are texting and driving, making sure I stay away from them, amen. Scary. And I see them all the time, you know, they pull up next to me. And I'm thinking, hey, is that what I look like when I do that? No. But I'm watching all the time around me when I pray. So I pray, I leave it with God, but now I'm watching to see, okay, how's God going to deliver me in this prayer? So it's not a thing, you can pray too much if your praying is worrying and it's not praying.
I see, yeah.
Okay? Because the praying can be worrying in disguise of prayer. And so I'm appeasing God, so to speak, by calling myself praying, but I'm actually worrying about it. If that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Okay, anybody got a question on that?
I have to be careful.
Because the thing is worry. Yes, Mark?
There's also a fine line between discouragement and worry. Are they in the same category?
Discouragement and worry?
Yeah, because you can pray for the same thing several times when you haven't had the results yet, but you know you're just drained from, like for my situation, I'm searching for a better career. Mm-hmm. And it's been several years. Mm-hmm. So there's times I'm discouraged, mm-hmm. and I lift it up to the Lord in prayer. It's almost a fine line between that worry, because I will pray for that over and over and over again.
It can be, but genuine prayer is draining, okay? Pat prayers are not draining. Genuine prayers are praying. Genuine prayers are draining. If you think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat was as drops of blood, and he prayed the same thing and said three times.
I guess that's the way I'm describing it.
And it drained him because of the agony involved in it. So genuine prayer will drain you. It'll bring you to emotional tears. It'll break you down. It'll leave you emotionally exhausted if it's genuine prayer over something that's major, a child gone wayward, a job situation, you know, a spouse that's not doing right or something like that, an impending situation that's on the horizon. I mean, maybe unrest in the church. I mean, those things, when you pray and get on your face for God, those things will drain you, you know. And as repetitious as you may be, it still drains you every time just because of the emotion that's involved and the wanting of the heart and desire of that particular thing, whatever it may be. So genuine prayer is going to be draining, okay? Yes, Carmen.
It's draining, but then, you know, comes the peace, you know, when you really give it to God.
Yes.
You know, like the other night, you know, I had some concerns and my concerns turned into worry. Oh, man, I can't even go to sleep just thinking about it. You know, I wanted to go and deal with it now, but everybody's in the bed sleeping. There was nothing I could do. And I had to say, God, I'm sitting here worrying. I need your help to not worry. And then God started giving me some things to think on, those things that are good and pure. And think about trusting me with all your heart and not to lean on your own understanding, because I have my own interpretation, you know, based on everything God said. I know better than you, you know. I'm in control of all this, you know, and here you are, you're trying to, you know, have control. Just trust me. Mm-hmm. I'm working special things in this life. I'm working something in your life, everybody around. And it just gave me a peace, and I was like, okay, and I just fell right to sleep.
Amen, amen. And keep this in mind as well. Worry is trying to change something in the future that I have no control over. I have no control over how much a life Carmen has left to live right now. Absolutely not. I have no control over her health situation right now in the future. Okay, now I can take her to the doctors now. I can help her with medicines now. I can do all these things, but I have no assurance that she's gonna be here tomorrow. So for me to worry about next year, when I don't know if she's gonna be here tomorrow, is worry. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Now, my concern is, okay, I want to make sure she's got the best medical help. I want to make sure she's got this, that, and the other. So I plan, that's the thoughts of the diligent, tend only to plenteousness, okay? But I don't worry about it. And this is when you know you're worrying. Can I change it? If I can't change it, then it's worry. If it's concerned, then that means I can plan to affect change in the future. Does that make sense? That's the difference. Concern means, okay, I'm here and I'm going to plan now for down there, okay? But I have no control over what happens down there. That's future, so that's worry, okay? I can say, well, you know, G2 wants to be an he wants to be a pilot, wants to, you know, fly jets. And I can say, oh, but he might get shot down. Oh, but he might get killed. Oh, but he might crash. Oh, but, you know, and he might, you know, and all these things. And I'm exasperated. Oh, you know, he's going to die, blah, 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 blah. That's worry, because I don't have a clue. Concern says, okay, he wants to be that. Let's make sure that's the will of God for him. And so, God, we want to put everything in him biblically so that if that is the direction you want him to go, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he's not going to depart from it. If that's your will for him, then amen, so be it. But for me to fret there and say, all right, we're going to steer him totally away from airplanes. Okay, son, airplanes are dangerous. They're bad. They're this, that, they're... You don't want to look at this bomb, explosion. Look at it, shot down. Oh, son, no, you don't want to go that way. Yeah, that's defeating the purpose. Because God may have him go in that direction. Okay? So when you look at this, be careful. If I cannot change it, it can become worry. There's nothing I can do. It can become worry. Okay? What are some of the things that we worry about in marriage? Kids, finances, debt, education, job security. By the way, none of us in here have job security for tomorrow. Not even me. Because God can take my voice away. Preacher needs, unless I'm going to get up here in sign language, which y'all don't know. It's not going to help me. So none of us in here have job security for tomorrow. All of our jobs can be done tomorrow. Did you know that? Every last one of us. I don't care how smart we are, how bright we are, how much we think we're, you know, indispensable. You know, our jobs can be gone just like that. It doesn't take long. So, you know, those for me to worry about that, you know, it's useless. What I should say, Lord, if you do render me, jobless where I can't work, you have said you take care of me. Okay? And so job security, a spouse leaving, my sex life, my workload, kids' future, my kids' behavior, all of those can be things that we worry about. You know, I told my wife long ago, I actually told God, I said, Lord, you know, she's yours. If she leaves, she leaves. But it ain't gonna be because I leave her. If she leaves, that's on her. No, she ain't gonna leave me. Amen. But I said a long time, I gave her over to God. When I first got saved, that was one of the commitments I made. I said, God, she is yours. If she chooses to leave me because of my commitment to you, because I'm going to serve you, irregardless, I'm going to serve. Because I had heard about guys where their wives left them because they sold out to God, and their wives were like, you don't care about me. And so they left their husbands. Amen. And I said, well, God, I'm going to serve you. I don't, you know, if she stays, she stays. If she leaves, she leaves. But it's not going to be because I didn't do my part, but I am going to have nothing to do with that leaving of her. That's in your hands, God. That's in your hands. And I made that commitment to God long, long ago when I first got saved. Now, she stayed with me. Yeah, amen. And I praise God that when she feels that she's not getting the attention that she needs, she'll come and let me know. Like, that's part of the communication in the relationship. You know, and then she can worry about that too. He's giving more time to the church than me. She could worry about it, or she could be concerned about it and say, I'm going to do something about it. Hey, you're not spending no time with me. Now, which one's going to get more results?
Mm-hmm.
They're telling him, telling God for it. God beat him, amen. God, you're taking too long. Let me go get him, amen. So telling God and then saying, honey, I'm concerned. You know, you're not spending a lot of time with me. You know, you got too much time in church. So these are all real things that we worry about. Anything else that, you know, marriage, people worry about in marriages? Talking about wiping out worry. What are some things that we worry about? Anything else before we move on?
Faithfulness,
okay. Will my spouse be faithful to me? Amen. By the way, should I be worried about that? No. Should I be concerned about that? Yes. Now, if I'm going to be concerned about that, what should I do? If I'm concerned about that, what should I do? Should I go to my wife and say, you be faithful to me?
No.
What should I do?
Pray about it.
Pray about it, number one. Then number two, what do I do?
Talk to her about it.
Well, I could. But the second thing is more simple than you think.
Give them more attention.
Be the best husband I can be. I tell God and I be the best. Why do most affairs happen anyway? Because I'm not getting the attention that I think I need in some way, shape, fashion, or form, be it physically, emotionally, sensually, spiritually, or whatever. There's someone else that's more attractive than my spouse that's giving me something that I need, and I go out for it. Okay? And so, first of all, I'm going to tell God. But then second of all, I be the best spouse that I can be to my mate. That cuts down their faithfulness. Now, if it's something that's, you know, I mean, they could just have a personal issue, a demon inside, not demon possessed, now y'all give me something. But, you know, they may have a weakness in them, and it actually has nothing to do with you. It could be a personal weakness. I'm a planner, and my wife knows that. Has nothing to do with her. I've been a planner all my life. But my planning can be a weakness for me. She knows that. And so does the planning have anything to do with her?
No.
It's in me. It's something that I've got to deal with. I've got to balance, but she knows it's a weakness so she can pray for me. Okay? Say I've got a weakness for sex. We're couples here, so we can talk like that. Now, she knows I got a weakness for sex. Now, there's other avenues that I can choose. I can choose to be out unfaithful. I can get the pornography. I can get on the internet. I can do all these other things. If she knows that, what should she do?
More attention to you.
Pay more attention to me. In what way specifically? Physically.
Physically.
If she knows that's a weakness for mine, a weakness of mine, her goal then is to make sure that that weakness doesn't become a snare or a trap to me by fulfilling that need. By the way, I've had people in my office that I've counseled. The one says I want it more, the one says I want it less, and they got to live together. So what do? If one wants it more and one wants it less, what do you say? Because if I want it more and you want it less, guess what? I'm going to get it more somewhere or the other. If I want it less, hey, I really don't want to get involved in this, you know, so what do?
You find the middle ground,
that's right. Okay, how can we best do this thing where both parties are happy? Amen. I've got this video, I have to let y'all watch it one of these days. The anatomy, what is it called? Pretty much it deals with the sex life of a married couple, and it's actually pretty good, pretty graphic too. Yes.
Okay, now go on the opposite of that. What if, I think of married couples, I think of aging, as we're aging, mm-hmm. and we're not being, one of them might think they're not pleasing the other one or worried about pleasing the other, because mm-hmm. your age and your hormones don't tend to go away, you know, mm-hmm. you just tend to not have that. So, I mean, how do you,
talk, communication,
yeah.
and that's a real issue. And that video that I watched, one of them was talking about the reality of the changing hormonal levels of the ladies specifically. But the men have a change in their hormone levels as well. And so knowing that, where the lining thins out more because of the time of the time of life and things of that nature, and it begins to address all those issues, that's reality that we tend to overlook. And so I've got to make sure that I'm communicating my needs and desires and wants as we go through this time of adjustment and growing together. And it's just a simple thing of communicating. What do I want? What do I desire? How are we going to get there? And it should be something that's easily talked about in the marriage relationship. Okay? Because that's a real issue. One of the things they brought up is ladies sometimes are just spent by the end of the day emotionally, because they give so much to their children, to the housework, to this, that, the other, and so they become non-responsive. And they said sometimes the men are working so hard during the day with this, that, the other, and the pressures, they are non-responsive emotionally to meet the emotional needs of the woman because they're just spent. You know, like I tell my wife, I say, I'm spent with no change. Amen. And that can happen sometimes where, you know, and so I've got to understand where we're at, how I'm being spent, what do I have, what I don't have left over for the relationship. You know, one guy said, look, he said, everybody ought to be in the bed at 10 o'clock every night. He said, that way you know you're going to give your spouse some time at 10 o'clock. Everybody in bed, everything done, everything stop 10 o'clock, you are in the bed. Now, for some of y'all, that's reality. Some of y'all can do that. Others, you think 10 o'clock. I'm lucky if I can do it by midnight. Amen. You know, but that those are just some of the things that are there. Communication is the key, sis. And again, I'm not going to worry about it, but I should talk about it. One of the worries that we have in marriage is the sex life. Am I pleasing my spouse? Ask them. You know, the one thing they said, that 25% of ladies around the globe never experience orgasm. They are not fulfilled, physically speaking, in the relationship. And that's a problem. That's a real problem, because God gave us each other for fulfillment and pleasure. I mean, most parts of our body have some sort of a function. And I'm just going to say this, try to say this as tactfully as I can. He said that the clitoris has no other function than for pleasure and stimulation. There is no other reason it is there. And if that is not being addressed, where the woman's sensation is coming from, then there's going to be a problem. Because the lady's unfulfilled, but yet the husband, he's like, hey, 2 minutes, he's satisfied, unfulfilled. But then here's, I've got the spouse here who's not getting fulfilled. And so there's going to be some real worries and concerns there if I don't address that issue. Now, should it be a concern? Yes. Because I do want my marriage relationship to come together where I am being fulfilled physically. Should I worry? There's no reason to worry, because it's something that can be addressed. Okay? But what do we do sometimes? We worry. We worry. Well, if I say this, he's going to think his manhood. If I say this, he's going to think that, or blah, blah, blah. This, that, and the other. Y'all got to watch this video. It's a good video. Yes, ma'am.
I was just
going to
say, in most relationships, when you're dealing with people, to discuss the sexual life and, you know, what stimulates and what makes you feel good, most people, you know, we were taught taboo. Mm-hmm. You just don't do that. Mm-hmm. So it's something that most people have to learn.
Amen. You know? And you do. I mean, my wife and I first got saved. I mean, I came out of the world. I had all sorts of perversion that I had watched, that I had seen, that I was a part of. And I said, look, preacher, if we're going to do this thing, well, let's do it right. What can I do in the bed? What can I do in the bed? You know, I'm just flat out, I want to know. I don't want to be in the bed feeling guilty in front of God that I'm doing something I ain't supposed to be doing with my wife. Amen. And, you know, he showed me some scriptures and told me some things. And, I mean, it was really eye-opening for me. I mean, the Bible says marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled. So, practically, the door is wide open. I mean, certain things, of course, just for physical and health reasons, you don't want to do. But, I mean, I'm like, I was just candid. I'm like, look, preacher, I'm saved now. This is what we used to do. Is this acceptable now to God? Amen. Can we do these things? Is this right? Amen. Hey, why? I want to go into the relationship and making sure that we're being sensual together without any guilt, without any remorse, because simply speaking, the world does a lot of things that really aren't right. Okay? But then there are certain things that are there that you're allowed to do, and it's simply just asking. Asking and communicating, because you do want to have that open door as to what we can do as far as exploring each other. You read the Song of Solomon, there's a lot of exploration going on there. Solomon's looking up some serious ground, amen? And that's a good one. Brother Lancaster has a whole series that he preached on that. That's pretty good. Okay, so let's go back to this, amen? So some of the things that we mentioned, marriage, kids, or debt, education, job security, spouse leaving, sex life, workload, kids' future, kids' behavior, some of the things we worry about. Can we change any of these things? Yes, some of them we can change. Okay? Now, some of those things can be changed by planning. Again, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. I plan it, okay? And if I plan it, okay, I'm going to talk. My wife and I said, we're going to talk to our son, see what he's facing at school. Amen. We plan that. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Okay? But of everyone that is hasty, only to want. We could have said, oh, we're friends. Oh, what do we do? Oh, oh. And we worry. Guess what? Nothing happens. Okay? It is something else here. Notice down there under the lines there. It says, this means we plan for the future, but we don't worry about it. To do that, we need to know why we shouldn't worry and how to wipe out worry. Amen. And they look at, first of all, why we shouldn't worry. Amen. Now, notice this. They said there are three reasons why we shouldn't worry. Number one, worry causes us to lose perspective. Before we actually get into that, what perspective of marriage might we lose by worrying? What perspective might we lose in marriage by worrying? And the first one is very obvious. Time. Time is short. I'm worried about something. I may be gone tomorrow. I'm worrying about something. My spouse may be gone tomorrow. I'm worrying about something. My children may be gone tomorrow. I'm worrying about something. My job may be gone tomorrow. I'm worrying about something. My health may be gone tomorrow. Time is against me. And when I lose perspective of the fact that time is in God's hands and God has only given me today, that begins to bring this into perspective. I don't need to worry. I only have today. Today is only promise. I can plan. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plan. I plan and I prepare, but I only really have today. Now, if the day comes, the thoughts or the plans that I made for tomorrow are going to kick in. But then guess what? I still only have today. Tomorrow is gone. Tomorrow is just a promise. I only have today. How many of y'all saw that because of all that snow on the East Coast, that airplane went right off the runway, almost went into the water. Can you imagine the people's lives flashing before them? Oh, I'm going to die.
Big bird.
And then they didn't die. Why was I worried about that stuff anyway? I could have died. It wouldn't have mattered. Amen. And so I only really have today. Amen. Time is short. We only have today. Tomorrow may not come. All right, let's read that there. Number one, it says, worry causes us to lose perspective. We live in a culture that tries to influence us to believe life is all about gourmet food, designer clothes, stylish cars, and bigger, fancier houses. That's why Jesus asked what important question? Matthew 6:25. Let's go look that one up. He asks what question? Basically, he's comparing our life to meat and things that we eat. Matthew 25. Who's got that? Can read that? Go ahead, Stephanie.
Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?
Amen. So he lists a whole bunch of things there about the body. Now, notice what it says here. In other words, are you just a body, or are you more than just flesh and blood? Hey, we're more. If you are just bodies, then the principal concerns in life would be what our bodies eat, drink, wear, and how they are sheltered. But if we are more than just warm bodies, then there are more important things in life than what we eat, wear, drive, where we live, etc. Notice that last sentence there on page 12 at the top of that first paragraph. When we focus on the physical rather than the spiritual, worry causes us to lose perspective. At the end of the day, we're going to live in eternity. That's spiritual. At the end of the day, this body is not going to be. At the end of the day, and when I die, this job is not going to be. At the end of the day, the only thing that's going to matter are the spiritual things in my marriage relationship. The spirituality that I invoke there. The physical is not going to be there. Okay? And so that's one of the things that worry can cause us to do, is lose perspective on what we're doing. So we've got to be careful with the worry there, because we can lose perspective. By the way, if you ever get to the point where you're so consumed about something that you lose perspective, it's not a good thing, is it? I mean, you feel that. You sit there and you worry about something. Before you know it, an hour's passed by. You think, man, where did time go? I've been worrying about this thing. Amen. And then when you're consumed, you can't function. As Mark said, you get fatigued. If it's going to be worry, you're going to get really wore out. If it's genuine prayer, as Mrs. Dawson said, you're going to give it some real earnest prayer, but you're going to feel real good afterwards, knowing that God's going to do something. And you don't know what he's going to do. And sometimes we worry about that because we don't know what God's going to do, amen? But you know he's going to do something. I remember when we were trying to get this church building, many of y'all remember that, I was worried because we didn't have the money. I mean, I was worried. I said, God, if we don't get this money, we're going to lose all the money that we had put up. It was about, what, $5,000, $10,000? We put up $5,000? $10,000? Because the way the contract was written is we didn't come up with the money. We lost all the money that we put up. And I was worried. I said, Lord, we don't have that money. Here it is. We need to have this money on Monday, and it's Thursday, and we don't have the money. And we needed $25,000 by Monday. I don't know about y'all, but you know, I said, okay, well, I can sell my car, I can sell my house, and I'll get $25,000 there. But how am I going to get it by Monday? I was worried. I went to the Word of God. I read the Word of God. I read about Jehoshaphat, and he said, the battle is not yours, but God's. I mean, I just had a peace. I said, God, this is your battle. This is your church. This is what you're trying to do. Why am I worried about this? I mean, I closed my Bible. I had such a peace that God was going to work something out. I didn't know what he was going to work, but I had a peace. A couple hours later, I got a phone call that the church was being bought and paid for in full with $15,000 left over.
Amen.
What happened? I went to God and I said, God, this is your problem. It's not my, I can't worry about this. My concern is that I'm just going to pray and get it over you. And God did the miraculous. Now, I was willing to give up my all. I was willing to give up my house and my car. I was willing to give up everything I had. So we're going to live in an apartment. You have two bedrooms. You say something?
Can worrying stunt your prayer and your growth as a Christian?
It can. And it can by this. I'm so consumed with that, I can't move forward in my Christian life. Mm-hmm. I'm so consumed with that, I can't do what I need to do to progress in life. I'm so worried about it that I am not putting in the energies here, and here that I need to. My husband's not getting anything. My children's not getting anything. My job's not getting anything because I'm so consumed with it. So it can rob me and stunt my spiritual growth. Now, sometimes much, sometimes little, sometimes intermediate. It all depends on how much worry I'm devoting and how much time to that worry I'm devoting. So yes, it can. Amen. Number two, not only does worry cause us to lose perspective, it says down there, worry causes us to forget our worth. That's why Jesus says, behold the fowls of the air. Matthew 6:26. Mark, you got that? Mark 6:26.
Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?
So the question is, Jesus asks at the end is what?
Then what does Jesus ask in the last part of the verse?
Are ye not much better than they? Is God more concerned about the birds or the man? The birds are for our enjoyment. He's more concerned about the man. Okay, brother, thank you. He's more concerned about the man than he is about those. But if he takes care of them, think about what he's going to do for us. And that's the whole point that's behind this. Amen. Notice what it says down there in that next paragraph. One of the most fascinating things in creation is the tiny, beautiful hummingbird. Hummingbirds get their name from the humming sound they make when they fly. There are many different kinds of hummingbirds, one of which is the bee hummingbird, the smallest of all birds. It's about 2 inches long, half of that is tail feathers and beak. It only weighs 2 grams, about the same as a dime. It can hover, go up, down, and fly sideways with amazing grace. It flaps its tiny wings 75 times a second, so fast we can't see them. How many have ever been somewhere and a hummingbird has come up behind you? And you heard it. Mm-hmm. How many of you did it scare you? It scared me. I thought it was a big, giant bumblebee. I mean, because a bumblebee makes that zzz, but a hummingbird makes a zzz, and I thought, man, I'm going to get stung by the biggest bee I've ever seen. I turned around, it's flapping its wings so quick, and I, what is it? You know, I'm ready to run, but it's a hummingbird. Now, if God is concerned about them, think about, he's more concerned about us. He's more concerned about us in the marriage relationship because he said marriage is honorable in all. Notice what he says down there. The phrase much better means of greater value. Are we? Question mark. To show us how important we are to God, what does Jesus tell us in Matthew 10:30? Let's look over there, Matthew 10:30. Matthew 10:30. It says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered, even those of us that don't have any. There's still a hair follicle in there that God knows that it's there. Amen. And my two kids were picking at me the other day. They said, Daddy, you got some stuff growing out. I said, yeah, it's time to shave again. Even I'll get some gray hair growing out here and there. And sometime up on my head, it'll pop out. And so I have to shave it. They say, Daddy, time to shave again. Yeah, it is. Yeah, get that off of there. Amen. So when you look at Matthew 10:30, to show us how important we are to God, what does Jesus tell us there in Matthew 10:30? Every hair is numbered. Amen. And so God is taking care of us. Amen. By the way, if God knows the hairs, he knows your marriage. And if God knows your marriage, he wants you not to worry about it, but be concerned about it and give him the cares that you have that he can work it out. Because if it's a worry, he doesn't want you to do that. Why? It's going to take a necessary time away from you and your life and those who you love when you worry. Okay, but he wants you to be concerned about it. Amen. Notice that last paragraph here. We'll stop with that one. God knows how many hairs are on the heads at this very moment. He also knows the true color of your hair. Amen. For those ladies that dye it. Amen. Why would God want to know such a trivial fact that changes each time we take a shower or comb our hair? Because we are so valuable to him. He knows everything about us. But worry causes us to forget our worth. And so with that said, I'm going to leave you with a memory verse, Psalm 139:14. Which says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's a very good verse. But it should get us to recognize that we don't need to worry because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so God's going to take care of us. Psalm 139 and verse 14. And that's going to be your memory verse for next week. Psalm 139, 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalm 139, 14. That's going to be our verse for next week. But I do want us to really consider how much worry am I putting into my marriage and how much concern am I putting in my marriage. Don't worry. Be concerned. Concern says there's something I can do. There's plans that I can make to help this out. Worry says I can't control this down the future. And I'm trying to pray about it, but I can't control it. And so don't worry about it. Just give it to God. Okay, again, my wife and I, we have a situation with our school that we're facing right now with our son. And so, it's just something that you can't worry. I mean, we can't go to school with him. So why worry? Well, what are they going to do to him when he goes to school? Can't worry. But you can plan. My mother let me go to camp one time all by myself. Can you believe that? I'm about 10 years old. She let me go to camp all by myself with the boys' club. But guess what? She knew she couldn't be there with me. You know what she did? She talked to the counselor. She said, look, you keep an eye on my boy. And so I didn't have a clue that I was being watched the whole time. I'm just out there, having good times. I had no clue this guy was watching me the whole time. When I got back, my mom told me the story. I went to Bruce and I told Bruce, you watch him. And he kept an eye on me the whole time. Nothing happened to me. Nothing bad at least. I didn't brush my teeth. I didn't comb my hair. Came back with chapped lips and knotted up hair. I was dirty and stinky, but I was safe. I was unclean, but I was safe. So why worry when we can plan and pray? Amen. There is a t-shirt I saw one time, or a phrase I heard, why pray when you can worry? Of course, that's an atheistic approach. Worry is not what God wants us to do. He says, if I can take care of the birds and the bees and the flowers, I can take care of you. So let's not be concerned, not be worried in our marriage, but pray in concern for our marriages, for the things that we know that God can work out. Amen. Psalm 139, verse number 14 for next week. Amen. And so let's not lose perspective on our marriages. Father, thank you for this time together. Lord, help us to not be worried in our marriages about things that are beyond our control, but be concerned. Lord, plan and prepare for that which we can change. Help us to communicate, Lord, properly with our spouses, with our children, that, Lord, we might effect the change through our prayers to Almighty God. And Lord, we know at times there will be draining prayers. There will be times of debilitating prayer. If we just pour our heart out to you, Lord, in the end result, we're going to have a peace that passes all understanding. Work in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys are dismissed. Psalm 139. Don't forget, the 21st is where we're going to have the fellowship at our house.